is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next on News for the Soul Radio, it's time for Perfectly Holistic with Pam. Pam is a cat mom and holistic health seeker who, after suffering an injury that wouldn't heal, was led on a journey to seek out alternative, holistic, and natural medicine. She now shares what she learned, helping people and their cats along their path to holistic health. Pam has taken courses in holistic health for animals, muscle testing, and animal communication. Please welcome Pam back to News for the Soul.
Happy Monday, everyone. It's Pam with Perfectly Holistic. Thank you so much for coming back and joining us tonight. And I cannot believe we are in mid-March and it's springtime already. I'm like, what happened to winter? So time just flies so fast. But I want to also just thank my special guest and dear friend, Dr. Katie Whidley, who is joining us tonight. She is the natural pet health doctor, and she is a wealth of knowledge, and we are so excited to welcome you back. And we're going to talk about something that is like the bane of all pets, besides fleas, is allergy season. So welcome back, Dr. Katie.
Thanks so much for having me, Pam. And yes, it is the bane of existence for pet parents if they are dealing with this for their dogs or their cats. And allergies are a hot topic right now because so many pets are experiencing it. So I'm super excited to kind of help guide pet parents and have dive in deep with you.
Absolutely. And I want to take just a second and shout out to all the people in Instagram world. So if you would like to watch our video and actually see Dr. Katie live, I recommend you go to the perfectlyholistic.com, our Perfectly Holistic YouTube channel, or hop on to our Facebook page and you can see both of us. But I'll be honest, I am not techie enough to figure out how to work all these platforms, so here you go. So let's talk about allergies. First of all, we know that let's talk about, first of all, why do pets even get allergies? You know, they're not born with this automatic, you know, condition to sneeze every time there's a pollen on the ground. I mean, nobody is. So let's talk about why allergies even develop in the first place.
Yeah, so this is a deep topic and a big one.
It is.
Because when we start looking at, you know, pets that are getting hot spots, they're scratching too much, they're getting ear infections, even like anal gland issues, you know, chewing at their feet, you know, cats that are licking themselves raw. A lot of times we think that this is something that just suddenly appeared, right? But it was a disease that had been going on for a long time internally before we saw the symptom of the itchiness of that hot spot, of the like inflammation that's appearing in the skin or in the ears. And when we start looking at what are the causes, what is that root cause? I always ask, like, why? Why is that symptom there? Because it's, we only treat the symptom, that's where we get stuck in that vicious cycle of the symptoms keep returning and you keep going back and forth to the vet for the same problem.
Yes.
So why is that there? Well, we have to look at how is the body interconnected. And so when we start thinking about, okay, well, it could be a food-related issue. Do we have a food sensitivity? Now, why is our pet reacting? Is there something inflammatory that's not feeding the gut health or feeding the microbiome and all the good bacteria that's creating inflammation that's now kind of leaking out into the rest of the body and overstimulating the immune response? Is there excessive stress in the environment that's also creating a gut health issue? A lot of things are going to be connected to gut health because of that intimate connection with the immune system. So we want to take that step back and look at food and nutrition. What's going on with gut health? Are we putting too many things into our pets that are overstimulating the immune system? So when we think about that, what could that look like? It could be flea and tick products. So those are, you know, they're a toxin that is going to be potentially creating more inflammation, overstimulating that immune system. Vaccinations, they are there to stimulate the immune system. So if we're overdoing it, we're over-vaccinating them, that can actually adversely affect the immune system and lead to these symptoms of allergies. If there's a lot of toxins in the environment that are increasing inflammation, you know, so I always kind of like break it down in terms of gut health, nutrition, immune health, emotional health, environmental health are those big key areas we want to be taking a look at to see where did that imbalance arise so that we could trace it all the way back and actually heal the root cause that's leading to these horrible allergy symptoms.
Exactly, exactly. And I think so many times we've just become conditioned in society to take a pill for all ills. You know, we want the quick fix. Mm-hmm. And so many pet parents, like you said, they get into this rut of just going back to the vet over and over for a symptom after symptom. And it's a drug, it's a quick fix, it's a steroid, it's whatever. But like you said, until we can come to the place where we can find the root cause and figure out why is this so out of whack to begin with, then we're going to keep just staying on that hamster wheel, and that's not where we really want to be.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing, too, to keep in mind, and, you know, I see a lot of familiar faces, which is super exciting, but for anyone who's, like, new to, like, the holistic journey, this is the frustrating part because it takes time to heal the body.
Yeah.
And I always say there is a time and a place for conventional medications if we have, like, a quality of life issue because those drugs do work very quickly to help with some of those symptoms. But we don't want to be relying on those long term or kind of falling into that mindset that it's actually healing the body when it hasn't.
Right.
Because I see that all the time. It's like, well, that worked, but now it's back. And I'm like, well, we just treated a symptom. Now we need to take that step back and look at, well, why did it occur? And we need to start changing maybe the nutrition, changing the environment, focusing on emotional health and supporting our pets in those areas to truly achieve, like, the actual healing of where things went wrong in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that ultimately affects the intestinal lining, you know, it affects the liver. If these organs are impaired, they can't do their job effectively, and then it just becomes this snowball effect.
Yeah.
And you know, the immune system doesn't know where to put its feet because it's just like all over the place, you know, there's so much confusion.
Yeah. And one of the things too, that's crazy, a lot of pet parents, and I think even vets don't realize is that the liver is processing 90% of the histamine. Mm-hmm. So when we think about allergies and the immune system kind of being dysregulated, there's certain immune cells that are being stimulated and one of them are mast cells.
Yeah.
So mast cells release a lot of histamine. We can also see a lot of eosinophils will be elevated. Those are a white blood cell on like blood work. Those are releasing histamine. That's what makes us itchy, right? You think about the redness, like if you get runny red eyes and you scratch and they get all swollen, that's the histamine.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think about like, okay, these cells are producing this type of, you know, metabolite, it has to be processed and broken down by the body. And 90% of that is actually happening in the liver.
Yep.
So if we think about these pets that are already dealing with like a lot of toxins or they already have a congested or a liver working harder, you think about now we have all this histamine coming into the liver that has to be processed and the liver is just super overwhelmed, can't handle it, kicks all those chemicals, those toxins back out into the bloodstream. And then we see an increase in like flare-up, inflammation, hot spots, they get itchier.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times this itchiness or sometimes those allergies that we're calling it are actually because we have like a clogged detox system and we have to open up those pathways so the liver can do its job and clear the toxins that our pets are going to come into contact with, but also process that too so that way we can reduce the amount of inflammation in the body, which will help the other systems work better too when we do that because it's all interconnected.
Yes, exactly. So where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the detox pathways? I love how you described the liver will just kick all that back out into the bloodstream because it can't do it.
So the thing is, I always, you know, like it helps when we think about ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who here has ever eaten a meal that wasn't probably the healthiest and you got like itchy afterwards? Like what's happening there is your liver is inflamed and congested and it's actually kicking out the toxins and the bile salts that are binding to toxins that are then going like through the gut, through the bile and to the stool to hopefully be eliminated, but they're not getting out. So they get pushed back into the bloodstream and it circulates,
mm-hmm.
and that's why our skin gets itchy. So you're like, it doesn't even seem like a gut health thing or a liver thing, but it actually does come down to supporting those that liver pathways and the detox pathways, because I always say it's like a clogged toilet. When you think about, like, you know, we don't want the water flowing back up from the toilet. We want to, like, make sure those elimination pathways are open. Mm-hmm. And so I always start kind of moving backwards, because this is a common area that pet parents miss when we're supporting the body, whether it's a GI issue, but especially with allergies and increased inflammation, we need to look at what are the two main elimination pathways in the body. They're going to be the gut and they're going to be the kidneys. Mm-hmm. When we think about cats especially too, how many cats have like poor kidney function and they have chronic kidney disease? So if we already have a system that's under stress, we need to do all we can to make sure that gut's not backed up. We don't have constipation. That's a common source of increased toxins, especially for cats. We need to open up those elimination pathways. So this is where, you know, making sure your cats and your dogs are eliminating at least once a day. And if they're constipated, we need to focus on that and open up that pathway, because we can't even start working on the liver until that pathway is open.
Correct.
Because, you know, we need to work backwards. So elimination, and then we look at the liver. Now, in terms of talking about elimination pathways, this comes down to nutrition. We talk a lot about nutrition, right? Food is the foundation, but it's one foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to make sure that we're removing the as much toxins, as much inflammatory ingredients as possible from the diet. So cats are obligate carnivores. We need to do our best to transition them over to a high protein, less processed, species appropriate diet. So whether that's going to be a canned, freeze-dried, raw food, fresh, like lightly cooked, we just need to move away from those kibble diets that are going to be higher in things like glyphosate, your inflammatory ingredients, you know, your byproducts that are produced from, you know, cooking at high heat temperatures.
Yes.
So that's a huge area of helping to support that elimination pathway, feed the good microbes, reduce inflammation in that gut. So starting there. And then when we start going backwards, okay, let's look at the liver. And how do we open up those pathways? We know there's a couple different phases of detoxification. So it's not just milk thistle.
Right.
I find milk thistle is very powerful. It can also be a very strong detoxification supplement. I don't know, Pam, if you've ever seen people go for like milk thistle and then the animal vomits, or they get diarrhea, because it can be very strong for them.
Mm-hmm.
So first, make sure your elimination pathway is open, so it's not backing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're looking at phase one and phase two detoxification. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about this if you're just joining, because histamine is processed through the liver, 90% of histamine, the things that are making our pets itchy. So we have to support those pathways. Phase one is all about taking these toxins and actually breaking it down into a more toxic byproduct. A lot of people don't realize that. So if we think about, okay, we're supporting phase one with like milk thistle, quercetin, and we're not supporting the next phase to actually turn it from a fat-soluble toxin into a water-soluble to get out through the gut and the kidneys, gets stuck again. Mm-hmm. And now we have something that's more toxic. So this is why elimination, detoxification, supporting both phases are essential to every system in your pet's body, including yours. So the same principles apply. So making sure we're supporting that phase one and phase two, this is using combination products a lot of times. So you'll see products or supplements that'll have things like milk thistle, burdock root, dandelion, and roots. So doing different things in the body. Quercetin is another great one. Curcumin is another great product. And so using companies that you know, like, and trust, and looking for these detox products that are going to include multiple, like, herbal products. That's how I look for my patients, and making sure that that's going to support both of those phases of detoxification, so we can get those toxins out and they don't get recirculated back into your pet's body and make them even itchier.
I do have one question that you just made me think of. Is there specific product supplements that you would use for phase two detoxification?
So usually we're using, so a lot of the products will be focused on phase one and phase two.
Yeah.
So I I mean, Adored Beast Liver Tonic is a really good product that's pretty gentle and safe for a lot of pets. Doesn't create a lot of detox reactions. Remember, we want to make sure things are eliminating first, so working backwards. Also, I love the brand Animal Essentials. So they have a couple different types of detox products that you can use too. And what I like about them, especially for cats, is that they're glycerin tinctures, so they're easy to give. Because cats can be the hardest to give supplements and things like that too. That's kind of how I look at the products. You know, is it, are we using organic if possible? Because we don't want things to be sprayed. Is that company, are they legitimate? Do they do testing? Do they do heavy metal testing? How are they processing those herbs too is very important. Like a lot of milk thistle, if it's not processed with alcohol, it's not actually bioavailable to the body. So, you know, a lot of companies will, they won't process it that way. And a lot of pet parents, we don't like alcohol tinctures either. So you want to look at how that company is processing it, because herbs will have different ways that they need to be processed in order to be highly effective and absorbed in the body too, or else we're just throwing money, you know, down the drain at that point. So those are key components. So I kind of have my companies that I go to. Once again, like if anyone's listening to this recording, like years down the road, make sure that you check the company because things can change. That is really, really important. You know, pet food companies, supplement companies, you always want to be doing your research, see if they were bought out, what are their testing protocols, how transparent are they with their products, and what's in them is really key too, to keeping your pet safe.
We have a question. I think it's a really good question. What about using teas like dandelion?
I love teas. I love using herbal teas because they're so easy to access no matter where you are in the world. So big things would be looking, making sure it's organic is the key when you're using teas, just like you would for yourself. But I love burdock, like root tea, love dandelion tea. Now, keep in mind, a lot of times if you're using dandelion, whether you're using the leaf or the root, you can create a diuretic effect. So if you give something and you see like your cat or your dog is urinating more, that just shows you that that's what's happening. So this is where like journals are really helpful to make sure that we're not, you know, missing a symptom that could be a sign of an underlying health problem. But if we know we gave something that does help, you know, increase the urine flow, right? That's what a diuretic is. That's going to help with the detoxification. You know that that's a normal response to that type of herb. You know, so those are really, really good. You can always use combination teas too. One of the brands that I really like is the Traditional Medicinals in the U.S. And, you know, there's a lot of detox blends. Just making sure, you know, you're reading the ingredients, you're researching, making sure there's not things like xylitol or other, you know, natural flavorings that are added into that to keep your pet safe. But you don't need a lot of it. And they're so safe. So it's just starting with like an eighth to a quarter of a cup mixed into the food for your pets, you know, 1 to 2 times a day can work really, really well for them. And then, of course, titrating up if you have a larger breed dog based on their size. But a lot of cats respond really well to it. If you have a picky cat, it may not work. That's the thing. So, you know, keep in mind some of these herbs, the way that they work, they have bitter tastes. So those bitter flavors, those bitter tastes, when you think about like bitters, that's actually stimulating like that gallbladder, stimulating bile production to help with the digestion process, which is very powerful. A lot of pets need that help, especially if they are inflamed, congested, that liver is not working well. We have a lot of histamine circulating through the body. So if that's, if the teas aren't working because your pet is picky, that's where I would choose like a more highly concentrated like supplement. So that way you don't need as much and it's easier to give. And sometimes you can just like put it right in the mouth and you don't have to worry about them like eating around it or not eating their food.
Exactly. All right. So we talked about detox pathways and how to prepare the body. Because like I always tell my clients, I said, before you start releasing toxins, you got to make sure they're going to be eliminated and not recirculating. That's the worst feeling in the world, is to be miserable because they're just like doing their little rotation.
They're not good things. Like, you know, they should not, if your pet, if you've, If you're worried your pet's going through a Herxheimer reaction, we've missed a step in the detox pathway. Mm-hmm. Something's off.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we can see a little bit of a flare-up, but it should not be like I see and hear about these pets that are miserable, and that is definitely not an appropriate response for yourself or your pets if you're going through a detox.
Yeah.
You should be working on those pathways so that it's not backing up. You shouldn't feel super sick or not able to get out of bed.
Exactly. Okay, so do you have specific recommendations for, we've talked about supporting the liver for allergies and lymphatics for allergies. What other things can we be doing for allergies?
I think the big thing here too, and this is more for like acute symptoms,
mm-hmm.
because it's so hard to watch our pets scratch or if they're scratching themselves raw and creating sores.
Yeah.
So you can support the liver while you're doing this, but also to a tea that's really helpful is nettles. So nettles has natural antihistamine properties and also provides a lot of nutrients to help the healing of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use a tea or a tincture and use that for, I know Animal Essentials has a great nettles tincture that you can use. So if you have a pet that's really just struggling with the symptoms, try some nettle and see how they do. There are very few small percentage of pets that have a sensitivity to nettles. So
mm-hmm.
I always say start with a small amount, see how they do, don't add anything else. And if you notice increased itchiness, that may not be the solution for them. But overall, it works really well for both dogs and cats. Now, the other one that you can use, it's called Nature's Benadryl, is quercetin.
Mm-hmm.
So quercetin with bromelain, the two work better together. So bromelain is essentially a digestive enzyme, and quercetin is a natural flavonoid that helps reduce histamine. So rather than reaching for something synthetic like Benadryl, quercetin
right.
works really, really well. And once again, it's also supporting the detox pathways in the liver. So your histamine will really, really, it comes down when we're using some of these natural products. So that way you're providing symptomatic relief for your pets. Now, the other neat thing about quercetin that a lot of people don't realize, because once again, we talked about the gut a little bit and how a lot of the allergies are actually stemming from a gut health issue. So
yeah.
a lot of times what happens is our pets have what we call a dysbiosis, where we have an imbalance of good versus bad bacteria. That dysbiosis, what happens then is that we can produce a lot of inflammatory mediators that are going to then cause more inflammation in the gut lining, and that gut lining should be nice and tight. Those tight junctions should be sealed like this, no holes.
Right.
And as we start getting inflammation, it starts separating and we get permeability issues or what we call leaky gut. So those holes are now allowing food, bacteria, toxins, things that shouldn't be passing through from the gut lining, the interior, into the bloodstream, stimulating that immune system that's sitting right there. And that's where we see that increased inflammation. So if we can use certain types of supplements that are going to help reduce inflammation, seal those tight junctions again in the gut lining,
mm-hmm.
that's going to help because then once again, we're focusing on the root issues. So quercetin actually works really well for sealing the junctions also.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Doing multiple things in the body, which I love. Like if we can get away with a couple of different things rather than adding 30 supplements,
yeah.
who here is all for that, right?
Right.
So quercetin is a really common supplement for allergies that's
mm-hmm.
going to help heal that gut lining too, where, you know, we have that leaky gut condition that comes with a lot of these allergic pets.
That's awesome. I also love ion gut support. The humic acid. Yeah, anything humic and fulvic acid would be wonderful to add to your pet with any kind of allergy issues because there's obviously something going on in that gut lining.
Yes. Definitely. So that'll help also. And then it's a binder too.
Mm-hmm.
So for things like heavy metals, one of the other things too that I found with some pets are sensitive, I find with ion, sometimes they get a little bit itchier. So once again, making sure that we're working on all the different detox pathways is really important and that we're removing any inflammatory things that we're aware of right in the environment or in the food. But also, too, a little bit of activated charcoal because it has a higher affinity for different types of toxins.
Yep.
Your humic and fulvic acid, they're in technically what we call zeolites. So zeolites are these volcanic ash minerals that work really well at binding to heavy metals, but they don't have as strong an affinity for other toxins that could be present in your pet's body. So if you're finding like they're a little bit gassy, they're a little bit itchy, adding in a little bit of activated charcoal right before you go to bed, you know, at least an hour away from the main meal and other supplements will have a stronger binding to, if, you know, we have dysbiosis and they're producing inflammatory mediators, it will bind to that. It'll bind to those endotoxins, the things that are being produced in that gut that shouldn't be there, and remove them. So you're combining those powers of these different types of binders to really, you know, clear out the system and then also help heal that gut lining. And what's neat with activated charcoal, I've been seeing there's quite a few studies on the human side and even on, you know, on the animal side that show that giving a little bit of activated charcoal increased longevity over time. So it's pretty powerful. It's very safe. You just want to make sure it's away from like the main meals because it's so good at binding to things. That's why, you know, it's great for like food poisoning, you know, take some activated charcoal. You'll feel probably a lot better because it's binding to all those toxins. So that's just another way to use different binders that if you can't access humic or fulvic acid, or you're finding there's just like, it's just not enough for what's going on, add a little bit of activated charcoal into your pet. You can always put it in a little bit of food, just not the main meal, right before bedtime.
Let me ask you a question because I'm thinking about a couple clients that I know of that have struggled with like excess histamine. If you're doing the liver support and the lymphatic support and their body is still just releasing too much histamine, in some cases it can be like a histamine intolerance or lack of immunoglobulin A, but does activated charcoal benefit in any way pulling out some of that excess histamine too?
It totally does. It's amazing. Yeah, so give it a try.
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know, it's not a guarantee, but once again, what's nice is it's super safe.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd be looking at, too, is adding in more flavonoids, so like vitamin C. So using rosehip is a really great natural source of vitamin C. So adding that into your dogs and cats, too, because vitamin C is also an integral component of the detox pathways and also just reducing inflammation in the body. So the big thing, too, is we don't want to, if you find, this is where, once again, I always space out when I add it in, like, supplements because I want to make sure that the pet's responding appropriately.
Right.
So if you add in, like, a detox supplement and they get worse, decrease that dosage by half and make sure you're supporting the rest of the pathways. So a lot of these pets, they can't tolerate the normal dosage, and that's okay. We start slower and we titrate up and we work to the dose that works the best for those pets.
Right.
So that's typically how I approach that. If you have a pet and you're like, they don't tolerate anything, just start really small. Start with micro doses, work your way up, make sure you're supporting those pathways. Make sure we don't have a microbiome issue is really important too. And then Pam, you mentioned also with the gut health, a lot of these pets are actually deficient in immunoglobulin A, which is right in that mucus layer in the gut. That mucus layer is essential for binding and recognizing toxins and keeping it from getting to the rest of the immune system and overstimulating it. So, you know, German Shepherds are notorious for being, like, deficient in IgA, like, it's a genetic thing. But there's a lot of great tests, like Innovative Pet Lab has stool tests that you can order as a pet parent, and you can check that to see, is my pet deficient, or do they have elevated levels of IgA that can actually indicate a food sensitivity? So you can then focus on, like, do I need to do an elimination food trial? So some of these tests that are out there, the animal biome, looking at the microbiome, do we have dysbiosis? Do we have inflammation in the gut? Do we have an immune deficiency with that IgA not working as well? And then with that info, we can actually dial in the supplements that we're using and we know why we're using it and you can measure the response. That's why I love some of these functional medicine tests that have come out. Because, you know, we can spend all the money on supplements, but it can be hard to know too what's working best. I know like your muscle testing is a fantastic way to help with that too.
Yeah.
You know,
but not everybody has that.
What?
Not everybody has that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it can be really, really helpful. But, you know, it's also nice, too, to see, like, okay, those levels dropped or the IgA went up, you know, and then you just have a better idea of where you're going and the path you're following.
Exactly. I thought I was going to sneeze. Maybe not. So, okay, so we've talked about how to support the body through, you know, the allergic response and things like that. What other ways can we support our pets who are struggling with allergies?
You know, this is where, you know, I look at Chinese herbal medicine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of my certifications and one of the tools in my toolbox. You know, there will be other practitioners that use homeopathy remedies.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not a tool. But I've been trained in that. So in terms of looking at pets that are, you know, flaring up and they're having like these hot, yeasty smell, and it smells like a corn chip, essentially. Like that's a sign of yeast. A lot of times we call that damp heat in like Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, what happens is we have all this moisture. We have too much yin energy. There's not enough balance that's occurring in these pets. And we can use Chinese herbs that are going to help balance that, that are going to help dry up that excess dampness,
mm-hmm.
that are going to also work on the microbiome and support gut health, that are going to get like the qi, the blood, the energy flowing through those meridians again and like essentially calm it down, cool it down.
Mm-hmm.
So using Chinese herbs is very powerful for that. For those types of pets, there's a formula called Four Marbles. So four is in the number four and marbles. And Shea Mao San is the Chinese herbal name. And it works really well for those damp heat patients.
Mm.
The other thing, too, coupled with that, so it's another modality in Chinese medicine, is food therapy.
Nice.
So when we're looking at food, food is medicine. Food has energy. And this can be a transformational thing for a lot of pets is when we realize, oh, wow, I was feeding a lot. I see so many pets that are on, like, lamb diets, lamb and oats. When they like have allergies because it's like, oh, it's kind of like
novel.
An elimination diet.
Yeah.
Lamb is hot energetically.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a hot pet, they're panting all the time, the tongue is bright red, we have these hot sores on them, the skin is really inflamed, the fur like laying on the cool floor. You know, you have these dogs that are literally like going outside in the blizzard, don't want to come in. You're like, this doesn't make sense. They're hot. We don't want to be feeding hot foods energetically.
Yeah.
So chicken is warming, lamb,
mm-hmm.
venison,
mm-hmm.
Your shrimp. We don't want to be feeding those types of foods. We want to be using cooling foods energetically. So those are going to be things like a rabbit is such a great novel protein for so many pets. It's very cooling. It's
mm-hmm.
pretty easy to digest too if you have a pet that also has GI issues. But your turkey is another good option. Duck is another cooling protein. And then beef is more neutral. So if we had to choose something, I just stay away from those hot proteins because we got to bring down the temperature mm-hmm. in the body. And that's going to be coupled with all the other things we talked about and helping to soothe and helping them to heal too. So use the power of food. Takes longer, but it's a great kind of baseline that you can use as the foundation for healing them long term.
Well, and I like I like using a multi-pronged approach. So if
yeah.
you can modify your diet, your proteins a little, you know, as best you can. Add some in of these wonderful Chinese herbs that, remove the damp heat. Add your liver, your support, your quercetin, your gut lining support, whatever it is you're using. And when you start putting all of these together holistically, it's just a great way to support the body on all these different levels.
Yes. Because, I mean, that's the problem with, like, conventional, you know, your Eastern versus Western medicine approach is
mm-hmm.
that we tend to forget, like, everything's interconnected.
Yeah.
And that's why people get so stuck. And it's, like, the most frustrating, right? You're just like, well, we treated the symptom, but then once we came off the drug or the medication ran out, like, maybe they were fine for a couple weeks or maybe they were fine for the rest of the year. And then next spring comes and they flare back up. And it's like, and usually when that happens and we're not treating that imbalance, it gets worse and worse. Each year tends to be worse.
Mm.
And so by addressing it and approaching the body, looking at, okay, we've got the liver, we've got these other detox pathways, we have the gut, the microbiome, we have the emotional side too that we haven't really touched on either, and the environmental side, reducing those toxins, being aware of what's in the house, what cleaning products, what is the laundry. We were just talking the laundry detergent. So many pet parents are still using things like Tide and Gain, and those stay in the bedding for 6 weeks. And it causes itchiness. I've had so many patients where I was like, whoa, I throw away that blanket, like get a new one. And it changed everything for them because it was just keeping that pet at that threshold where they were just, they were too inflamed. They're having symptoms and we had to drop it below that threshold so they weren't having those symptoms. And it was just aggravating everything else. And so if you're finding like, I'm doing all the right things, but my pet's not improving, that's once again, taking a step back. And I call it like the pillars, the like frameworks, and looking at, well, where do we have a gap? Where is something missing? And that will be much more fulfilling and healing to your pet long-term when we take that broader approach.
No, it's true. And I can't tell you how many people are doing so many things right, but then they're still using the laundry soap or the cleaning products or the air fresheners or, you know, the plug-ins and things like that that are in the environment. And pets can't just walk outside whenever they need to get some fresh air necessarily, you know, especially if you have indoor cats. I mean, our pets are surrounded by the soup of environmental toxins in our homes. So just being mindful of the things that, you know, the off-gassing of things, even stuff like flame retardants that gets on this, that they're exposed to can and just be that exacerbant, you know, cause of like itching. When you've done everything else right, you just got to look at the environment and go, what are we missing? Because there's obviously something we're missing.
Yes, definitely. I mean, the symptoms are the check engine light.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's things occurring before we get to a symptom. I think a lot of people don't realize that is that there's a problem brewing and then we have to get to a breaking point and that's when we see a symptom. So we're already like further down the path when we start seeing those symptoms come up. So your pet's probably like dealing with these things for as long as it can and then it just becomes too much.
Their bucket
can't hold it anymore. And that's when we start seeing the overflow and those are those symptoms that we're seeing. So it's really important to be able to just look at, you know, our situations and health overall because you'll improve too. Like your health will improve also by looking at that broader approach and being able to analyze and assess. Like that's so much more empowering, right, than going to the vet and hoping that they have a solution, but they have no idea what's going on in your home.
Mm-mm.
Like that's, I love doing house calls when I would do acupuncture because I would walk in and I'm like, there's a plug-in in here. Like you could smell it and you can see and you can feel the energy of the house.
Exactly.
And the way that everyone is interacting together. And that's where the true healing happens, right? I can do acupuncture all day long, but if there's lots of yelling and anger issues and that like frequency is way off in the house, like that pet's absorbing all of that. And being able to see that, now we can give tools to people. But this is something every single person here can take a look at their environment and go, wow, okay, that's an area I can't improve. Great. What's one thing we can do, right? It doesn't have to be a massive overhaul.
Yes.
This is a huge part with allergies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like an overburden the body has broken. And now we've got to like repair those areas by using some of these tools that we've talked about.
Talk to me about like pets who go outside who struggle with allergies, but obviously, you know, dogs need walked and they need their exercise and some kitties are outdoor and you know, indoor, outdoor. And so they're exposed to stuff just going outside like pollens and stuff. Do you have any recommendations for pet parents on just like simple things they can do when they bring their pets back inside or even just being outside?
Yes. A wet washcloth. You know, it's interesting.
Simple.
I always talk about wiping pets down, like dogs and cats. But like it's like, well, what about, you know, you could get unscented baby wipes, but then it's like, well, are there other chemicals? Or literally just get a washcloth, wet it, and wipe them down, wipe down the paws. What you're doing is you're removing the pollens, the toxins, mm-hmm. the chemicals, the things they came into contact with. So, for example, our one cat, Tico, loves going outside and rolling in this one dirt spot we have in our grass where, like, all the bunny rabbits in our yard go and, like, just, he just loves it. Like, it's, he's like a little pig in mud. But I'm also aware, I need a minute, he's a black cat and he turns brown. So bad. So I know that, like, there's a lot of spraying that goes on in our neighborhood, and I know he's going to be exposed to those types of things. And so when I bring him in, well, before I bring him in because he's filthy, is I just get a wet paper towel or washcloth, and I just essentially, it's like I'm petting him. It's like I'm mm-hmm. grooming him as a cat. So it's not stressful to him, but I'm reducing and removing the things that he's going to groom off mm-hmm. when he gets inside.
Yep.
So, you know, that's like your dogs go for a walk. If you see those yellow flags in people's yards, just make sure they're not going on the grass. But when you get home, just wipe down everything. And it can take about just a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it can make a huge difference for just reducing the pollens and the inflammatory ingredients that your pet is going to take in. So,
yeah, and I've also heard of doing foot soaks for dogs.
Yes. Like, yes, 100%. So if you have... So you could do apple foot. So depending on if we have like itchy, red, irritated paws,
mm-hmm.
Foot soaks are amazing. So you could always do a dilute betadine bath where you're taking betadine. It's a brown like antibacterial substance that you can use for wounds. And you're going to create like just a mild, like a tea color.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when you think about a black tea, just a light tea color. That's what you want it to look like. And just have your dog stand in it for however long you can, right? Like every
right.
animal is different.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to wash it off. You're just going to dry their paws. And it has great antibacterial, antifungal, so anti-yeast properties. It's anti-inflammatory, so it's going to help. And it's not irritating, which is really good.
Nice.
So using that, sometimes I'll add in things like safe essential oils, like lavender, helichrysum, frankincense is really nice, too, for reducing inflammation and other antibacterial properties, too. But you don't even need that. So if you don't have essential oils or they scare you, which they do a lot of people, just stick with betadine. The other thing, too, is you can use teas. So green tea mm-hmm. has actually been shown to be more effective than, like, Zyrtec. And we can use teas on, like, the skin.
Mm-hmm.
So topically to help heal those hot spots and reduce histamine also. So just another way to utilize both of those as foot baths or using them topically.
Yep.
There's a lot of great natural remedies for healing the skin topically when we have sores.
Exactly. One person has a question about what do you think about using a wet cloth? Does it not spread those pollens all over the body? Especially like on a long-haired cat? Or is it how effective?
You're probably not going to get everything off, right? But if you think about if you did nothing, like your cat's going to absorb, like they're going to just groom it anyways.
Yeah.
So the chance that like you're reducing the amount of like pollens and grasses and things that are on
mm-hmm.
them, you know, nothing is 100%, right?
Right.
But we're doing our best with what we have versus
yep.
like taking the cat and washing them down. I can't even imagine how that would have gone for Tico. He's a big boy and he's very strong. It would not have been pretty. So that was like my solution, right? This is going to
yeah.
be not stressful to him. It's going to make my black cat black again.
Yeah, exactly. Something is better than nothing. Because,
yes.
again,
yes.
they are going to come in. They're going to groom. They're going to ingest anything that's still on their fur, and especially
yeah.
cats because they're so fastidious, you know. They just want to yes. be clean.
And I think it's a good reminder. It's a great question is, too, like, I feel like sometimes we get so anxious over, like, oh, my gosh, I have to do all the things
mm-hmm.
or have to be 100%. Keep in mind, like, all these little tips, all these things add up to great, huge results health-wise for them.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing here. It's like, once again, taking a step back and looking at, like, these different areas of health, and they're all going to add up.
Yeah.
You're making your pet stronger to to handle those toxins. Like, we're going to come into contact with toxins. That's just going to happen.
Exactly.
But if we are optimizing the systems in the body and we're lowering the level of inflammatory things like the histamine and, you know, making sure that the body's working well, you can tolerate so much more. Like, it's amazing, like, what we can tolerate when we optimize all these areas.
Absolutely.
Anxiety, right? Emotional side. How many, like, cats, you know, start grooming when they get anxious? You know, the redirected grooming that they'll be walking across, like, they'll be walking and then all of a sudden stop and they're, like, frantic grooming, right? That's a sign of anxiety. That's a sign of an emotional health imbalance. And so that's just a huge another area, right? It's the topic by itself and supporting that. But we know the gut-brain connection, mm-hmm. that if our pets are stressed, it creates leaky gut. There's a direct connection there through the vagus nerve. So things like CBD are very powerful because they're reducing inflammation naturally, mm-hmm. but they're also working on balance and homeostasis in the body, calming them down. And there are numerous studies that show it can help with allergies too. So it's another tool in the toolbox, especially if you know my cat, my dog gets really anxious, or we live in a really stressful environment. And you can't change everything sometimes, right? And so being able to utilize those tools can make a huge difference for treating allergies also.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I was going to scroll through here and see if you have any other questions. Nicole says, do yeast infections of the skin fall under allergies?
So I would say, so yeast, and what happens a lot of times, you have to treat the secondary infection.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these pets, what starts with an inflammation in the gut, right? We have a leaky gut situation, or the liver's congested. We have too many toxins, and that creates inflammation. The pet starts chewing, licking, scratching. We get inflammation in the skin. And if we don't clear and resolve that inflammation, it can get like ear infections. Think about like the moistness,
mm-hmm.
the hot, the heat. What loves that type of environment? Yeast and bacteria.
Yep.
Those infections are what we call secondary infections. They are not the direct cause of like the allergy. They are secondary because of that other, that imbalance that's creating the itchiness. Kiwi's deciding to help us today.
Yeah.
So we have to resolve those secondary infections. Yeast infections can be very frustrating, especially if they've been a chronic problem. This is where things like MCT oil can be very powerful at adding in and helping to heal that.
Mm-hmm.
Topically, Manuka honey is also great. But we have to resolve the underlying imbalance for why it's there while we're treating that. So if you have a pet that has like really stinky skin, or they have like crusting, you know, they're... Sometimes there is a time and a place for antibiotics, but I would use topical treatments first because it can help. Kiwi just went for the scrolling along the bottom. You're going to see her. I don't know. Cat.
Yeah. It's a moving object.
She was just, like, super excited about that. Hmm. So, you know, the thing is, though, is when we see that, we have to treat it. We have to resolve it while we're doing all the other things that we're talking about too, or else it will never go away.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And it puts you in that vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So the secondary infections are very important to treat in terms of healing those allergies. So it's a result of the allergy.
Yeah.
It comes together, I guess. Like allergies are kind of like a symptom. So that's going to confuse people probably more, but it's a secondary thing due to these imbalances in the body.
Yeah.
You know, an allergy is a symptom. It's the itchiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's an overactive immune system. So the question is, why is the system overreactive? That is always the question, right? So think about pets, just for example, like colitis, inflammation in the gut, right? That is not the disease. That is a symptom. And why is the colitis there?
Yeah.
So when we start asking those questions very differently, we get very different answers and we get very different results.
Mm-hmm.
Not the easiest path once again, but it is essential for looking at your pet from that perspective. Why is this happening? Why is that symptom there? Why is the allergy there? And then going down the path to figure out the root imbalance.
Yes. Tony says, can nettles help a cat that rubs his eyes?
So, I mean, the hard thing is I can't say yes or no because I don't know, like,
the full picture
of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, honestly, when we see, like, cats with eye issues or something, I always go to where's the immune system imbalance?
Yeah.
What do we need to address to help clear that up? So I would always start with, like, nutrition, looking at that first, looking at things like thymus supplements. The thymus gland is a very key component of the immune system, and that thymus gland will actually get smaller and smaller as we age and as our pets age. So if we can supplement glandulars to help support those immune systems also, that can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Using herbs, this is where I'd be using herbs that are going to help the immune system. So astragalus is a great herbal option for boosting the immune system. Now, sometimes we don't want to boost the immune system with allergies, but it could be, you know, if we have a cat that has these chronic upper respiratory infections and that's why they're scratching or like pawing at their eyes. If we feel like it's more of an allergy-related thing, you can always try nettles and see how they do. Keeping in mind, we still have to look at like the rest of the body and see, okay, what else is off?
Yeah. Yeah. And I would just tell people, don't be discouraged if you try one thing and you don't see a change. I think you have to just remember it needs to be a multi-prong approach on many levels. Start with one thing so that you don't get overwhelmed. But then as things, you know, as you're able to do that and add one more and then add another so that we can synergistically support the body instead of just giving up after trying one thing. Oh, well, that didn't work. You know what
well,
I mean?
Yes, 100%. And the other thing, too, is people give up too soon.
Yeah.
You know, society and Amazon has done this to us, right?
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
2-hour delivery. You're like, yeah. But then when it doesn't come, you're like mad, right? Whereas before, like, it used to take a week and we were okay. But
yeah.
We've come to expect those same results through, like, supplements like drugs. Drugs can work very quickly, but it gives us a false, like, you know, hope that, oh, we actually fixed the problem, but we didn't. Whereas
yeah.
supplements, you know, the reason why a lot of times, I mean, they don't get me wrong, they can be used inappropriately and create harm, but they take longer
yeah.
because they're working on healing the body. That's why they're safer usually.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're more gentle. They're not as strong.
Yeah.
So, you know, I find people bounce around a lot, but it's because that we forgot about, like, we just hear the next thing is the good thing, right? And
yeah.
so we're like, well, maybe that'll work better. And we start shifting, and all of a sudden we have a supplement graveyard. And if we just sit back and we go, okay, well, this is working on the liver. This is okay. I'm optimizing the gut. Okay, making sure, like, the food and the proteins and the energetics are aligned with what my pet is showing me.
Mm-hmm.
When you start working that way and you stay with the plan, it takes longer to heal, but you're on the right path. So
yes.
as you start seeing the reduction in symptoms, that's a key, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't change course. Stay on the path. Make sure you're hitting those pillars. That's the essential part that's commonly missed is we jump around way too much.
Yeah, and it can take months to restore gut health and years.
Here's the thing with allergies.
Yeah.
This was straight out of my Chinese herbal training, and I'll never forget it. Think about if you have a pet, like, let's say a dog that has allergies for a year, it's going to take at least 6 months to heal them.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a pet that's been sick for 10 years, their entire life, it's going to probably take 5 years. Now, this is not meant to discourage anyone. It can be a lot faster than that. But it sets up a realistic expectation
mm-hmm.
that the time that this has been going on, remember, the symptoms are further down the path. We've had this disease process occurring in the body for this period of time. So we have to shift our mindset around healing the body and the time that it can take. You know, it doesn't mean that you need to struggle or they need to not be feeling well, but we should see forward progress with that healing. And it can take a while. I mean, I have, you know, clients that I've worked with where their pets were really, really sick. And a year and a half later, we're like, we're really good now. But
yeah.
it took that entire time with some ups and downs and working through that to get them to that place.
Exactly. Exactly. We are almost out of time. I wanted to give you the opportunity to just do some shameless self-promotion because I know you have a great program that you're running. So why don't you just real quickly just tell our listeners and viewers about your program so they can work with you.
Yeah, so one of the things that we're doing that has been just amazing at seeing the results with the pet parents is it's called our Healthy Holistic Pet for Life Blueprint, and it's a lifetime support mentorship program that essentially teaches you those five pillars of health that we briefly touched on. So why is this important? How do we assess our own pets? And then the framework that you can use to actually heal them or prevent disease in the first place through all the different life stages. So it's a lifetime program because, for one, I work with a lot of sick pets that it can take a while to help heal them and help provide that support and mentorship so you know you're on the right path. We also do weekly Q&As. Where you can ask questions, and we have a private community that's off social media, so you don't even have to be on social media, where you can get further guidance and support that I moderate and make sure that you're taking care of and that you're moving in the right path. Because so many pet parents they don't feel confident, they feel hopeless, they feel lost, they're not sure where to turn and what to do. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to create a place for people to feel supported and confident and most importantly empowered and being able to think through these things and ask those better questions to get the better results. So we do calls with people to make sure it is the right fit for what you're looking for because, you know, I can understand it's not the right fit for everyone. But if you're looking to, you know, see maybe this is the next step for you, definitely reach out. You can send an email to info@thenaturalpetdoctor.com. You can also go to our website, thenaturalpetdoctor.com. We have a free masterclass that you can watch, too, to learn a bit more about it. And then you can always schedule a call so that way we can see, you know, is this the right fit for you and your fur family? So that's what awesome. We're doing. We still provide a lot of free content at The Natural Pet Doctor on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. But if you want to go deeper and just join just an amazing community of pet parents, I'd love to have a call with you.
That's awesome. And with that, we will say goodnight. So thank you so much for joining us, and we will be back next month for another great show. So happy Monday, everyone, and take care.
Bye.
Bye, you guys. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, it went fast.
It does. But you're so polished, and you flow.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.